Good morning. We are going to be concluding our 23rd chapter over here, Perek Chaf Gimel. We're up to Pasuk Yud Tet, which is on page 152. You'll notice a few packets over there because we're going to finish up the chapter shortly and then get into a very fascinating Perek Chaf Dalet, which is going to discuss the actual encounter between David and the King Shaul. But we're right now in Perek Chaf Gimel on Pasuk Yud Tes, where it says on page 152, Vayalu Zifin. And it's worthwhile actually to take the other packet as well, because the packet, which is for Perek Chaf Dalet, has on the last page the map, a map which will kind of show us where they are right now, and in relationship to where he's going to be going to. So we'll be able to refer to the map on the last page of Perek Chaf Dalet as that packet. In the meantime, we'll be in our packet Perek Chaf Tet, Chaf Gimel on Pasuk Yud Tet. So we're on Pasuk Yud Tes, actually, on page 152, verse 19. And on the last page of the next packet has a map, which will be helpful even now, giving us a perspective of where David is in proximity to where Shaul's army is pursuing him. So, can imagine, we, of course, have Shaul chasing after him. We just left off that Yonasan, his son, the son of the king, had another covenant, another bris with David, saying that he'll be the Mishnah, Lamelech will be the second to you, David, when you accept the position of being a king. And they parted ways. Now we're in Pasuk Yud Tes. V'yalu Zifim El Shaul. So the Zifim, which is a group of people, approached the king, Hagivas Aleimu. And what did the nation of the Zifim say, this group say? They said, Hello, David, Mistater Imanu. David is hiding with us. He's in our basic vicinity, in our area. Bamsados, Bechorsha. He's in these strongholds in the forest. Begivas. And he's in this valley, Asher Miyamin HaYishimon, which is in the south of this place, Yishimon. And if you look on the map on the last page, it kind of shows you, it says the strongholds, which is where David currently is. The problem is not where he's hiding, but these people that open up their mouths. And not only did they tell Shaul the basic area of where David is hiding, they gave him exact directions, like a door-to-door map quest directions, exactly to the actual home of where David is camping out, the exact location. What? Well, it's brought down actually in the Talmud, it's an interesting name, Zifim. And the Talmud actually says the significance of their name. It's not brought down in any of the commentaries on our page, but the Gemara says the language Zifim corresponds to Bnei Adam HaMazayfin Divrehim, that people that are Mazayfin Divrehim, Zayf could be forgery, but also could be people who are deceiving and who are misrepresent others. That's the reason why they're called this nation, is Zifim, because they're Holchei Rachel. They go and they're constantly telling tales about people. So that's one of the reasons why they're called Zifim. So to answer your question, yeah, I guess that would make you a Rasha, right? Especially, speaking in this way, turning in David, who did nothing wrong. So
according to the commentary here, in the back of English,
yes, where is this? Oh, it says,
was in the province of Yehuda, and Zifim were David's kinsmen.
Right.
Kinsmen, maybe just Jews. Well, they were Jews.
They certainly were Jewish, but that unfortunately doesn't necessarily mean you're a good individual, a good person. So, they were...
Sometimes your relatives are that's your best friends anyway.
What can you do? So, but they turned him in. And,
yes.
Probably, it's... exactly. Maybe that was their motivation, the motivation of fear. But even so, you can say a little bit to cover yourself, and then to map out the exact directions of where David is going above and beyond your call of duty. In fact, let's see the next pasuk. They don't even end with that. And then afterwards, we'll look at chapter 54, namely in Tehillim, which David writes about this group of people. We'll see. We'll read that in the English in a second. Let's continue with Pasuk Chav. Be'atah now. L'chol avas nafshecha hamelech. Avas is translated in the Masudah Sion as Ratzon. Whatever your will is, king, l'redes reiv, to come down, come down. You want to come down to our city, to our town? No problem. V'lanu haskiru b'yad hamelech. And for us, we are going to also entrap him, because we are in the hands of the king. We will do whatever you tell us to do. Not a problem. It's very nice. So the next, let's see the next pasuk too. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The Yomer Shaul. So Shaul said, "Bruchim atem l'Hashem ki chamaltem olai. Blessed are you people, Zifim, because you have compassion and mercy upon me." Chamal is another language of rachmim. You've shown compassion and kindness to me. And it's interesting that if you look also in the English on page 153, it says interesting language that Shaul uses. Bruchim atem l'Hashem. He's quoting, thank God, right? And it says he invokes God's name, still sure that he was doing the right and necessary thing. Very often in life, those are the most dangerous people that realize they're doing something wrong, at a certain point they'll break down, they'll say, you know what, I made a mistake, I better stop doing this, I can't control myself, I'm a Baal Taiva, what do you want from my life? But when a person feels I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm doing God's work, those are the most dangerous people. And we see that, what Shaul was, Shaul's Bruchim Atem Lashem, I'm obviously doing the right thing, and therefore he blessed this wonderful nation, saying facetiously, nation of the Zifim. So if you look on this handout over here, Psalm 54, La Matzeach, Ben Ginios Maskil David, it is unbelievable that David HaMelech, at the darkest points of his life, somehow finds the abilities to sing Shir. It's a separate sheet. It's a separate sheet. But nonetheless, generally speaking, the Sefer, the 150 chapters of Tehillim, are inspired mostly by life experiences that David had. And based on those life experiences, he's able to channel his emotions to Hashem in different ways. That's why we've mentioned numerous occasions, you can have the same two people doing the exact same mitzvah, but they're really worlds apart. Because it's not just the performance of the mitzvah. It's what you, at that particular moment in time, are feeling, your life that you are in currently, the challenges that you're going through, and your performance of that mitzvah could be completely different than that other individual. And therefore, when David davened and praised Hashem, it was during those different moments of his life, the highs and the lows, the peaks and the valleys. And that's how he was able to tap into different expressions of emotion, which is also probably no coincidence the reason why Tehillim is so endearing to us, because it's something which really covers all the life experiences, not only the good times, but also the difficult times, and therefore a person can really connect to the words written by David HaMelech, and in turn, hopefully, Hashem would accept our prayers, our tefillos. So look over in the English, just see what it says. It says, for the conductor with instrumental music, Maskil by David, it's the first verse. When the Zifites, and that's what it says, Vivo HaZifim, That's what it says in the Tehillim. When the Ziphites came and said to Shaul, "Behold, David is hiding among us. O God, deliver me by your name. Vindicate me by your might. God, hear my prayer. Listen to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me, and ruthless men have sought my soul. They are not mindful of God. Behold, God is my helper. My Lord is with those who support my soul. He will repay the evil of my watchful enemies. Destroy them by your truth." So we see that in this verse, Pasuk Zion, in Tehillim, he's actually asking Hashem to give the Zephim the punishment that they so rightfully deserve for turning in an innocent man. "With a freewill offering I will sacrifice to you. I will offer thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has saved me from every trouble, and my eye has seen the downfall of my enemies." So again, this Tehillim, this psalm, clearly was written in inspiration of this very difficult time, that as he was being pursued by Shaul, and not only was he being pursued by Shaul, but he had people that were turning against him, turning all different forms of evidence to try to turn him in, to point out exactly where he's located, and therefore he turns to Hashem and says, "Don't forget those people and what they did to me in my time of need, and what they did to me to try to get me killed." Okay, so that's Psalm 54. All right, let's move on. Pasuk Chavet. Pasuk Chavet. Luchuna. So Shaul is so happy because finally someone has some compassion over me. For some reason, people are mean and terrible. They don't turn in David when he deserves to die. So thinks Shaul. Finally, I have a group of people that are a little bit more kind and compassionate to me, that they're going to turn him in. L'chuna hachinu od, please go and prepare further. U'u es mekomo, find out and see his place. Ashtia raglo, where his feet are. Mirahusham, also find out who has seen him there. It's not enough to say, well, a week ago he was over there. That's not good enough, because he's on the run. Ki amar alai, because he said to me, arom yarimhu, that he is deceitful, he's sly, right? And arom yarimhu was translated also to Rashi, explains, what do you mean he's sly, he's tricky? Misnaheku barama, he can constantly acts in this very sneaky manner, David does. Hayom kan, today he's here. Look, just look at the map. You have all those arrows pointing in all different directions. Tomorrow he's in a different place. So that no one will ever know his exact location. He's never in one place. So if he's not in one place, he's constantly tricking me. He's fooling me around. He's fooling around. And actually, the very first time we see that language of Arom Yarim, that someone is trickster or sly or devious, is actually in Parshat Bereishis, specifically referring to the Nachash, right? The serpent, the very opening of chapter 3 in Parshat Bereishis, talks about the snake, and it says that's the language of the snake, that it was very deceitful, and he uses that language of Arom Yarimhu. The question that the Mefarshim deal with is, Ki Amar Eli, because he said to me that he is, it's said to me, he, whoever is he, it doesn't say, who is this he? Maybe it's one of his advisors, maybe it's some people that are watching and noticing his pattern. Some actually explain the he in this pasuk is David himself. Because David, of course, used to be side by side with the king. And what was David so good at? He was a tremendous soldier, he was a tremendous warrior. And it's probably, you can imagine, that as they would constantly trade war stories, because Shaul was also a great warrior, David would constantly probably tell him all the different strategies and tactics, how he was able to deceive the Philistines, the Plishtim, their enemy. And therefore, some actually interpret, Ki Amar Eli Aram Yarim, who is, I know firsthand that he's constantly tricking and deceiving, because he himself told me that, because I know, based on his experiences and all the war stories that he shared with me, that I know he's someone that is not just going to sit in one place. So do me a favor, Sifu. Don't just tell me where he was. Tell me exactly where he is. Give me a list of witnesses, eyewitnesses that know exactly where he is at this moment. Because otherwise, he's not going to be there much longer. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Pasuk Chav Gimel, see, no, Mikol Hamachavoim Asher Yischavisham, all the various hiding places where he was hidden. B'shavtem Eli El Nachon V'holachti Itchem. Says that, let me know exactly where he hides, and then afterwards come back to me with this information. V'ayim Yeshno Ba'aretz, it happens to be, if he's still where you claim he is, if he's still in the land, V'chipasti. V'chipasti is translated in the Masudah Sion as Chakira. I'll investigate into the matter. V'chol Afseis Yehuda. I'm not going to come by myself. I'll have thousands of soldiers from this group of people from Yehuda, and we're going to come and we are going to destroy him. This is the last straw. I am going to definitely pin him down. You're telling me we know where he is? Tell me exactly where he is. Come back to me very quickly. I'm going to get a huge army. We're going to surround him, and since you guys are such great people that you're going to help me in this matter, that you're also going to help me capture David, this is definitely going to be his last day. Pasuk Avdal. V'yakumu v'yelchu zivu efnei Shaul. So they came and they went, this group of people, Zifa in front of Shaul. V'davi v'anasha v'minbar ma'on barava el yamin ha'yishima. And David at that time with his group were in Midbar Ma'on, and that is on the map, the wilderness of Ma'on. You'll notice it's a little bit south, I believe, of right? It's a little bit west of Ein Gedi. El Yamin HaYishima, again, south of Yishima. So you see that he's pretty close. He's pretty close to the king. King's going to get a lot closer now. But Yelech Shaul v'Anashul v'Vakesh, and Shaul and his men went to seek him out. V'Yagidu David, it was told to David, he's going to die. V'Yered HaSela, he went down to this boldest rock. The Yeshua Midbar Ma'on, that's where he was sitting in the wilderness of Ma'on. The Yishma Shaul, the Yidav Achri Davin Midbar Ma'on. So Shaul heard this by all of his wonderful spies, known as the Zifin, that told him all this wonderful information. And therefore, he went after him in Midbar Ma'on. So now at this point, this perhaps is the darkest moment in David's life, because he is literally moments from death. It's not that we have a basic idea, he's hiding somewhere in the forest. We know exactly where he is. Now the king has a huge army, and the people of Ziphim are willing to help him. We're going to see that it's only going to be a matter of time before David is captured.
Where was Shaul
located? Apparently he was north of that at the time. If you look at the map, I think that's where it may indicate that. Does it indicate that? I don't have that one in front of me. A little bit north, right?
I know.
Okay. So he's making his way, he made his way south to capture David in Midbar Ma'on, or as it's translated there as the wilderness of Ma'on. Okay? Not good. Here they are, side by side. Pasuk Avav. V'yeloch Shaul mitzad ha'har mizeh, v'David v'anashim mitzad ha'har mizeh. So you had Shaul, a huge army, on one side of the mountain. David on another side of the mountain. So it's just all, it's a matter of just going around the mountain and that's it. You're going to capture this person. It's nothing. He's right there. Vayehi David nechpaz leleches, and David nechpaz, Masudah Sion says, chipazai, hirus, quickly started to go, mipnei Shaul, to run away from Shaul. But that was a little too late. V'Shaul v'anashah, because Shaul and his men, otrim el David, because Shaul and his army, Otrim, Masudah Sion says, is misayvim him, surrounded him, right? Atara. Atara is like a crown or a hat, which covers you, around you. So Otrim el David, so he surrounded him, the El Nashav, with Tafsam, to capture them. So it's over. He's going to be killed. No David Hamelech. Has to be. I mean, he wants to kill him. He has the army. He's completely surrounded. He has absolutely nowhere to go. There's absolutely no way out, at least in David's hands, unless Hashem somehow finds a way to intervene. Okay. Now, Rashi, by the way, said the same thing as Masudas Sion, that Otrim is Makipin, Vesayvin, Mitzad, El Tzad, completely surrounding Katara, Hamakevas as a Rosh, just like this Atara, which covers the head, like a hat, a crown. He was completely surrounded. There was nowhere to turn. Fortunately, there was an angel. Umalach ba el Sha'ol Emor. An angel somehow came to Sha'ol and said, Mahara, quickly, Balecha, go, ki pashta plishtim al arts. Pashta is Mitzioseon, says is hispazru, kederach and ilcham. They're spreading themselves out, which could be very easy to kill them because they're all over the place. They're not strong, unified. The plishtim, on the other hand, are spreading themselves out because they're trying to now wage war. They see you, the king, so busy trying to kill this nobody, David, that the plishtim woke up and said, well, this is a great opportunity to destroy and to conquer land. So I have some very important advice. Stop trying to kill David. Maybe you'll kill David in another day. It's only going to take another couple days. He'll probably hide in some... You have to check every single cave. Eventually, you'll catch him, but it'll take a couple days. Can you imagine the devastation the plishtim are going to be able to... they'll destroy cities after cities. They're just completely unprotected. I highly recommend you must leave the second. And fortunately, we're going to see that Shaul does, and that's the only reason why David is spared. Some people wonder, of course, it says clearly in the Sefer, it's a malach, it was an angel. The question is, why did it have to be a malach? Because it would have been any human being that would have gone up to Shaul and said, oh, by the way, Shaul, you're really doing something wrong. The plishtim, I just came on horseback, and I had to tell you this very important information. You better get out of here. It's not going to listen to him. It's not going to listen to a person. Maybe even kill that person. But a malach, that he knows and acknowledges, this is an angel, and God has such a direct connection with me, Baruchim Atem Hashem, must be that Hashem is telling me that this is the right thing to do. Hashem is telling me, take care of the plishtim, and then God's telling me afterwards you can kill David, no problem. But right now is not the time. Now is the time to defend, to protect the Jewish people. But Yashav Shaul Mirdof Achrei David. So therefore, Shaul turned away from pursuing after David, Vayelach Likras Plishtim. And therefore, instead, he went to wage war against the Plishtim, which we're going to see he ends up not doing. But nonetheless, it didn't make a difference. It was just a way to get him away, away from David. So because of that, concludes the parak, Al Kain Karla Makam Ahu, that's why we call this place, if you ever travel in this area in Israel, you would be very wise to ask your tour guide to go to a place called Sela HaMachlokes, the rock of dispute, the rock of Machlokes, of division, of argument. The question is why it's called Sela HaMachlokes. We'll see that right now. Apparently so. It's in that area. Have you ever visited Sela HaMachlokes?
Not today.
Well, let's look at the Radak. The Radak.